Today's reading is from the book of Luke. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Y'all didn't know you'd be singing Christmas carols today when you got up this morning, but that's how we do it. Okay, so my family is watching a documentary series that is about like the wonders of the natural world. There's just one season, and it's narrated by Will Smith, so I think just one season is all we're going to get. So they explore different facets of the natural world, and this one that we were watching the other day is about sound, okay? And in the episode, among other things, they go into a cave under a mountain and they travel 1,500 feet deep down this cave until they finally get to a place where they say, okay, now is the time when you can hear for the very first time nothing at all. This far down, you will hear for the first time utter and complete silence. So in the show, they're like trying to communicate to us, the viewers, you know, like what that feeling is like. And the word that they all agree best characterizes that feeling in the cave is heavy. That the sound of silence is heavy. That was so fascinating to me. I can imagine like deafening sound feeling heavy, but the absence of sound apparently also feels heavy. And that reminds me of our story today. Because in our story, it's not the presence of something or someone that is weighty, it's the absence of them. We know what that's like, though, by the way, emotionally. You know, some people in our lives have a heavy presence to them, you know? Some people that we all know, some people in our lives, when they are around you, they are a lot, you know? You feel the power of their presence. But we also know what it's like to feel the power and the weight of a person's absence, don't we? Some of you probably are feeling that weight and power of an absence today on a day on Easter, you know, on a holiday, because you are missing someone and their presence, or their absence, I should say, feels like weighty to you, heavy absence. Well, this morning we're going to look at the account of the empty tomb and a missing Jesus. And Jesus is one of these people in the pages of Scripture that has a heavy presence, doesn't he? Like, sometimes when you read the stories of Jesus, sometimes his words carry like a ton of weight. You know, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His power kind of through his words leaps off the page. And other times it's not his words, but it's his actions that feel so heavy and weighty coming through across the page to us, you know, like healing a blind person or walking on water, you know. Jesus, if we're honest, and I exhort you to really like find Jesus in the pages of Scripture, because his presence really is profound and compelling. He's such a compelling person in the pages of Scripture. But our story this morning is different. We experience a power and a weight but not in Jesus' presence, in his absence. I don't know if you guys noticed, as Trish read this Easter story for us this morning, that Jesus was not in it at all. Isn't that so fascinating that we, on the most important day of the Christian year, read a story where there is no Jesus? Isn't that crazy? They're talking about him, they're looking for him, but he is nowhere to be found. He's not in the story. And his absence is what is so heavy. Our story takes place in a graveyard, in a tomb, or at a tomb, and we learn, as the women did, that Jesus isn't there. So why no Jesus on Easter, on a day like today? Because the location of the story is all wrong. They've missed the action. You know, it's like, it reminds me of like watching a football game, and if there's a trick play, the cameraman sometimes follows the quarterback as they race to the sideline, while all the while the running back has broke through the line and is headed to the end zone. All the action happens out of frame. That's what's happening in our story this morning. The women show up as dedicated, devoted, sincere mourners, people who loved Jesus and were grieved by his death. And they find, much to their confusion and dismay, an empty tomb and the stone rolled away and the abandoned scraps of cloth and an empty tomb and no Jesus. And they're puzzled and they were certainly, I'm sure, upset. And as they wrung their hands, two angels appeared to them. And they asked a question to the women who had come looking for Jesus. The question is this: why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, what are you doing here? He's not here. He's risen. Jesus is gone. You're looking in the wrong place. You won't find him at a tomb in a graveyard. You're looking in the wrong place. And the women felt the weight of Christ's absence. And it was a question, the question by the angels was a question for the women, but I think it's a question for us too. And I'm going to use that question, why do you look for the living among the dead, as a way to talk a little bit about Easter and for us to think about Easter together. Why do you look for the living among the dead? I think we have to start by asking, what were the women looking for? Like, really? Because I think the women that day were looking for more than Christ's lifeless body. In their heart of hearts, they were searching for something more than that. Yes, of course, they had brought spices. They wanted to honor the tomb with things that they had prepared. But the angels knew that there was more going on than just looking for Jesus' lifeless body. The angels knew that they weren't actually looking for a dead person, but something alive. That's their question. Why, not why do you look for the dead here? They say, why are you looking for the living here among the dead? The angels knew that the women were searching for something alive. They needed something alive. They were despairing and at the end of their ropes. They had lost their Lord. They had put their hope and their heart and their lives in Christ's hands. And when Christ died, their hopes and their hearts and their lives seemed to have died with him. Those women needed more than just to grieve. They needed something alive. Something to their unpredictable life. Something or someone to be a guide to them as they walked through life's difficulties. Something or someone to just be alive to them, seeing them and bringing them hope and meaning. And of course, we are no different. We need something alive. We see the craziness and despair of our world. It is on full display. Division and cruelty, victims of oppression and violence. We carry around our own baggage and anxiety and depression and resentment and dishonesty. We carry around our past failures and we puzzle about our life's future. And we need someone alive to all that stuff. We need someone living. So the angel's question to the women and the angel's question to us is, why do you look then for the living among the dead? And that's what I puzzled about this week. Like, in what ways do we look for what we really long for, the living, but we look for it in lifeless places? So there are probably countless lifeless places that we look. I'm going to highlight a couple that I think. One, we look for life in what I'll call pleasant distractions. Pleasant distractions. Sometimes we feel so overwhelmed by the weight of this world and our life that our default is to just shut down, you know? To turn off the breakers that are overheating, to power down, and to just distract ourselves with pleasantries. We look for life in those little distractions, and we do that through substances and social media. We do that through overworking and like trying to accumulate wealth. We do that through innocuous hobbies that somehow start to turn into actual obsessions. And sometimes when we really give ourselves to those things, we recognize that there's just no life there. It's just mush, it's fluff. It's not living to us. We are looking for something living among the lifeless. Another place that I think we go looking for life is in what I'll call answers. We want answers. Now, of course, answers to our problems are obviously like super helpful. You know, seeking out the right answer to what plagues us is essential. That can be super helpful, whether it's a faith question or a justice question or a question about society or a theological question or a political question. Pursuits to the answers, to find the answers to those questions, is a good thing. But we must prepare ourselves for the possibility or the reality that if we find the answer to our questions, there will still be something lacking. And that's life. That even if we solve whatever equation we're trying to solve, whether it be for our own lives or something like our society at large, whatever we're working on, even if we find the answer, we will still find that we need and crave real life. Thirdly, I think sometimes we go looking for life in what I'll call predictable religion. And here, I want to like just make clear that I am just as in danger of looking for the living among the dead as any of you. All of you who would count yourselves like as a devout person, you know? Even the devout sometimes find themselves walking among the tombs. I would count the women on that Easter morning in that camp, you know? These women loved Jesus, and they've followed him. But somehow their wires got crossed, and they found themselves looking for Christ in a cemetery, in a graveyard. They thought they'd find Jesus there, but Christ was alive. And still now, like, Jesus is living and dynamic. He's an alive Savior. So we must be careful not to always go looking for Jesus in the place that we last left him. He is alive. He's a person. He's a dynamic Savior. And so we need more than just a dead teacher who has a lot of wisdom to offer us about right living. He is a living God and alive to us. So that question again, why do we look for the living among the dead? The women are told, Jesus isn't here. Christ is risen. He's alive. The one that you saw go to death, the one that you thought may be the Savior of the world, he is alive. And death did not stop him. He walked through death and defeated it, making a way for a redeemed future for all who would put their faith in him. he is alive now. The angels are like declaring that to the women. He is alive. What you are looking for is life, and Christ is life. They're declaring to the women, like, you can speak to him and know Christ. He sees you and knows you. And I pass along their encouragement and declaration to us. Christ is alive to us. The church is a people that worship a risen Lord. Jesus is alive, and you can speak with him, and he can be with you. He is what we are all looking for, life. He's not in a grave. He's alive. So I want to circle back on those three things. Like, Jesus is alive, and he's better than those other places where we often go looking for life. You know, I think Jesus is fine with our, what did I call them, pleasant distractions. You know, he's fine with us, like, finding some pleasant distractions in life, but he knows that in them is not life. And he wants to instill in you, like, real meaning and purpose that transcends, like, the mush of pleasant distractions. And we talked about answers, you know, and Christ loves answers. Christ has the answers. Like, if you read Scripture, he has the best advice you could ever find. He loves sharing answers with us. But my point is that he's come to do more than just share new information with us. He's come to be alive to us and to walk through, like, our journey as we try to find truth. He wants to accompany us on that path. What did I call the last one? Predictable religion. Of course, Christ loves people whose hearts are devoted to him, but he wants us to stay on our toes, being sure that we are serving and worshiping a risen Lord and not just trying to earn, like, religious brownie points for ourselves. Christ is alive, and he offers to us the fullness of life. He sees you, and he knows you, and he wants to be with you forever. His resurrection has opened a door to everlasting life where there is no more despair or pain or death forever for those who put their faith in him. Our God is alive, and you can find him. And even though our Easter story this morning was a story about the weighty absence of Christ, the powerful and weighty presence of Christ can be yours today and forever. Amen.